God. Hallelujah. Every praise. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your endurance. I know you've been playing a long time. Amen. But under the anointing of God, it seems like it wasn't no time at all. Is that right? All right, back me up now. Glory to God. Let's give these musicians a hand. To the glory of God. Amen. Today is Fifth Sunday, and we will observe the celebration of the Lord's Supper at the conclusion of my message. How many ready for the Word of God? How many really ready for the Word of God? All right, take your Bibles and get them in your hands. Get a little exercise. This is probably more exercise than some of you had all week. But say these words with me. This is my Bible. It is God's unadulterated and revealed word to me. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. The word of God is living. It is powerful, incorruptible, infallible, indestructible. And it will work mightily in me. I have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind that's willing and ready to understand God's revelation to me. Now look to heaven and say, Father, I am ready to feed on your word by faith in my heart in Jesus' name. Now open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm still talking about perfect prayer. Glory to God. After that song, we could probably do a series on perfect praise. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8. And today I want to pick it up at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. Everybody shout purpose. Shout purpose one more time. For whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And today I'm simply calling this message, God's ultimate goal. God's ultimate. Now I've been telling you for the last several weeks that everything that happens to us in life is not necessarily good. Is that right? And then there's some things that happen in our lives that we don't even understand. But God works in all things. And if he didn't, he wouldn't be God. But because he's a sovereign Lord, he works in all things. Is that right? But the question I've been posing is, do all things work together for good? Do all things work together for good? We say yes to the good. What about the bad and the ugly? Do all things work together for good? Yes. When the Spirit prays in us and through us, when the Spirit prays in us according to God's will. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. There are some things we just don't understand. It's happened to us in our lives. We don't understand why the car had broke down when it did. We don't understand why we got the pink slip and were laid off when we were. We don't understand why our marriage ended up in divorce. We don't understand why we were betrayed by a friend, perhaps. We don't understand a lot of things. Why did that have to happen to me? Well, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For he maketh intercessions for us with groanings, deep sighings, which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he who searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he make intercessions for the saints. If you're saints, amen. Amen. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I pointed out to you 2 weeks ago that in the original text, it says according to God. Spirit prays through your spirit. He is praying according to God. And the question is, praying according to God for what? God's purpose. God's predestination. And he's praying after the counsel of God's will for your life. That's God's ultimate purpose. That's God's ultimate purpose. Now we see in the Word of God that God is always perfecting. No matter what it is you're dealing with, God is perfecting. Even when it's painful, God is perfecting. God is always perfecting. Psalms 138 says, "For he will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of your hands." No matter what comes, no matter what may, God will not forsake the work of his hands. He will not forsake his purpose in your life. He will not forsake his predestination for your life. He will not forsake the counsel of his own will. That's his ultimate purpose. I like the NIV Bible in that verse, Psalms 138, verse 8. The NIV Bible says that God will fulfill his purpose. He'll fulfill his purpose. That's his ultimate goal. His purpose, listen to me very carefully, his purpose is to adopt every one of us as sons. That's his purpose. This is why you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, so that you might be adopted in the family of God as sons of God. That's his ultimate purpose. Now, the Apostle John reflected this in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power." And that word is authority. That word is the right. The right to become the sons of God, even as many who believe in his name. You are destined. You are purpose. It is the counsel of God's will that every one of you be sons of God. If you believe you're son of God, shout amen.
Amen.
The wonderful thing about God is he's God. He's infinite. But we with our finite minds, we go through. We beat ourselves up because we don't understand why certain things have happened to us in life.
Amen.
Why did it have to happen to me? But I'm telling you, God works in it like he did for Joseph. When Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers, when Joseph was thrown in the pit, when Joseph was sold into slavery, when Joseph was falsely accused and imprisoned, None of that was good. But God was working in it. And I'm telling you, the things that happen to us in life, God uses those things to conform us to the image of His Son. Are you listening to me? We just read from our foundation scripture that for whom He foreknew. God knew you before you knew yourself. And for whom He foreknew, He also predestinated. And predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn of many brethren. So whatever it takes for you to conform to the family image, God will use that. He will work in that. And if you allow the Spirit to pray in you and through you, He says it will work for your good. Joseph didn't give up on God. Joseph continued to believe God. And because Joseph was called by God, Joseph had a purpose in God, God worked all those bad things out for Joseph's good and the good of his family. Is that right? God uses bad things sometimes as well as the good things. Even the things we don't understand, we can't wrap our arms around. God is in that. Is that right? So for God, He foreknew you. He knew you before you knew yourself. And He says, I am predestinating you. See, you think you know where you're going in life, but only God knows for sure. I'm predestinating you to be conformed. Whatever it takes for you to be conformed. And for some people, it's going to take more things happening to them than others. Some folks just hard-headed, stiff-necked. But you're still God's child. And He says, I'm allowing these things to happen so you can be conformed to the image of My Son. That He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Then He said, moreover, for whom He did predestine, He also justified. He also called. And them He also called, them He justified. And those He justified, them He also glorified. Why? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Some of you have been on your journey for a while. Some of us have been on the journey longer than others. And when we look back at things that happened in our lives, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say when sickness came against us? What shall we say when need and lack came against us? What shall we say when trouble found us? What shall we say to all these things when our hearts were broken? What shall we say when we were faced with a calamity? What shall we say? If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why? He's got a plan for my life. He's got a purpose and a predestination after the counsel of His own will. How many are glad that God is for you? God is for you. This is why all things work together for good. See, God determined beforehand. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 1, brother. God determined beforehand that you would have certain rights and privileges as sons. As sons. Not only would you be conformed to the image of Christ, but you would have certain privileges as well. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 5. Having predestined, please notice that's past tense. I need you to get this. I know many of you have made plans, but did you acknowledge God in all your ways so that He could direct your path? But what you got to make certain, beloved, is that your plan is part of God's plan and not against or contrary to God's plan. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, God determined beforehand, decided before we got here, that those who love him, that those who are the called, according to his purpose, they would be sons of his, and they would be entitled to certain blessings. These blessings are centered around adoption and a full inheritance. Don't miss this. Adoption and a full inheritance. You see, when we pray in Jesus' name, God hears our prayers in Jesus' stead. Why? We've been conformed to the image of his son. Come on. And when you're standing up against the enemy, when the enemy comes against you, and you take a stand in faith and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you. The enemy isn't seeing you. He isn't hearing your rebuke, but he's seeing and hearing the rebuke of God's son. Now look at verse 11. Gets even better. In whom? Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody see that? You're not going to get it. You already have it. And now's up to you to discover what's in the will for you. You have an inheritance. He never promised you're going to get one. He never promised I will predestinate you. He says, I have predestinated you. Now he says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, some things, most things, all things according to the counsel of his will. These are the good things, the bad things, the ugly things. God works in those things. Huh? These are your blessings as adopted sons. The first blessing is the adoption itself. You've been adopted into the family of God. And as an adopted son, Father says you have a right to a full inheritance. Are you following me now? Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the 20th verse, he says, for all the promises of God are yes, in him, and amen, in him, by the glory of God through us. In other words, every promise in the book is yours. Every promise, come on, belongs to you. You have a right to full inheritance. Why? You've been adopted in the family. Let me give you a natural illustration. When a child is born and adopted, that child is considered legally the child of his parents. But those parents will not allow that child to have certain things until that child grows older, until that child reaches a certain age. Are you following me? You see, because you adopted the child has your name, the child is legally your child. And you're legally the child's parents. But you're not going to give that baby a key to the house. You're not going to give that baby a set of keys to the car. You're not going to give that baby an iPad or iPhone. You're not going to give that baby even an allowance. But that's your child. But in Christ, not so. In Christ. When we're adopted as sons, we're entitled to a full inheritance. We don't have to wait for this thing. You don't have to wait till the age of majority. You don't have to wait till you have grown in God. Even as a babe in Christ, you have a right to the full inheritance of your Heavenly Father. You have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the counsel of His own will. Now, how does this relate to prayer? When we pray, we're not praying as strangers or aliens. We are praying as members of the family. But even as members of the families, there's some things that happen to us sometimes. Painful things. There's some things that happen to us we don't understand. Some things we don't even agree with. Some things we don't even understand. Why? Because you're finite and God is infinite. Huh? And in my finiteness, I have certain weaknesses. I have certain infirmities. I have certain limitations. So Paul says, by the Spirit, that likewise the Spirit Himself shall help you in your infirmities. For you know not how to pray as you ought. You don't know how to pray about it. And you totally forgot that God works in all things. But He says, you know not how to pray as you ought, but the Spirit Himself. The Spirit Himself. He will make intercessions in you with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus promised His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will pray the Father to send you another comforter. And when He comes, He shall abide with you forever. So don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about what you don't understand. You got some help on the inside. How many hear what I'm saying? You have some help on the inside. Then Jesus went on to tell His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I've adopted you. You're no longer, look at somebody and tell them, you're no longer an orphan. Tell them you are a son of God. You've been adopted into the family. And because you're the family, Father knows best. Glory to God. Father knows best. You thought you knew what to pray. You thought you knew how to pray. You thought you knew the inwards and the outwards of the situation. But no, no, no. Father knows best. And Father says, He, the Spirit, He who searches the heart. He says, I'm searching your heart. He is searching the heart of the Spirit inside of your spirit. And He says, I know what is the mind of the Spirit. Even when you're double-minded, even when you're confused, God says, I know the mind of the Spirit. How many times we prayed the wrong prayer? We pray for somebody to be healed, and what they really need is a financial blessing. Come on. We're praying for somebody to be saved, and what they really need to do is ask God to forgive them and be restored back to the family. You see, you can't be saved more than once. Come on, you can't be saved more than once. Now, am I preaching once saved, always saved? Well, I can only give you the Word of God. Hebrews 10:14 says, He has by one offering, by one Spirit, He has forever perfected them who are being sanctified. How long is forever? So here's the truth. Once saved, always saved, as long as you decide to be saved. He's not going to make you stay in the family. He gave Adam and Eve free will, and He gives you free will. So once saved, always saved, and tell your friends, your loved ones to think that God has given up on them. There's no hope for them. That is the biggest lie from the devil. You've been adopted by the Father into the family of God. You've been conformed to the image of His Son. And the same way the Father would reject the prodigal son, your Heavenly Father will never reject you. He will never reject you. Now, He who searches the hearts, That's the Father. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And that Spirit prays for the saints according to God. According to God's predestination, His purpose, and the counsel of His will for your life. And so if you were to tell me, what's your life in 5 years, 10 years? I can only tell you what I think. But I can't tell you what God knows. You see, because I walk by faith and not by sight. You see, anybody that think they know it from A to Z, then where is God in that equation?
Where is He? Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And we have to understand that no matter what happens to us in life, that God knew about it before it happened.
Yes.
And when you pray that way, come on, you pray with confidence.
Yes.
Come on. You're not praying the problem, you're praying the answer. You're not praying the problem, but you're giving the Father praise because He's in total control of your life. Your life is not by accident or by chance. You're here on purpose. And some people never discover their purpose. Well, here's one thing you should discover, that God has one for you. And if you can accept that, then you're closer to the revelation of what that purpose might be. Is that right? So we're not adopted sons like kids are adopted in the natural. We have more than a legal name. We have rights and privileges. I have a right to go boldly before the throne of grace in my time of need to obtain mercy and find help, whatever my need is. I have a right to do that. I have a right to use Jesus' name. I have a right to believe God for healing in my body. I have a right to believe God for the salvation of my loved ones. I have a right. And regardless of my mistakes in the past, I am privileged. Privileged because of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That's God's ultimate goal.
Yes.
And when we pray with God's ultimate goal in mind, our prayers will become perfect even in light of our imperfections.
Amen.
How many hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm finishing up now. Moreover, whom He foreknew, before your father met your mother, God knew you. He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Apostle Paul was asking the question why God would use him. Paul said, well, God used me that I might be a pattern of grace. Paul was a terrible person when he was Saul before he became Paul. You see, God used Moses, who was a murderer. Is that right? He used David, who was an adulterer. He used Gideon, who was a coward. But God still had a predestination for each of these men. And God used their situations, regardless of how ugly and how reproachful they might have been, so that they could be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So the truth is, if you're in God's family, there ought to be some resemblance between you and our older brother, Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to be conformed to the image. I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then He doesn't stop there. He says, moreover. That's a powerful word. You know, furthermore, moreover, those are powerful words. Moreover, He's trying to get a truth across to us. Whom He predestinated, that's you, beloved. That's you. These He also called. In other words, you were invited.
Uh-huh.
You were invited to be a member of the family of God. He called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And the word justification, you can think of it this way, just as if I had never sinned. And whom he justified, he also glorified. The glory of the Lord is upon your life. Your very presence can bring encouragement to the discouraged. It can bring joy to those that are sad. Your very presence can bring hope to the hopeless. Your very presence can be the light that walks in a room filled with darkness, because God has his glory upon your life. Now, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Well, there's not a lot to be said other than, if God be for us, don't get mad at me, nobody. There's nothing for you to say. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, truth be told, I don't have any enemies. They're the enemies of my Father. I've been adopted into the family of God. And to be an enemy, come on, to be my enemy makes you my Father's enemies. You are God's children, every one of you. And we got to renew our minds. We got to press forward into the truth of God's word and stop believing the traditional lies that we've been handed down through the church, should say by the church, down through the ages, that God's keeping a ledger, credits and debits. And your debits are higher than the credits, so now you got to be good this week. Like I heard one fella said, don't start me lying, I ain't cussed all day. But see, God doesn't work like that. You see, when you cause a debit, in other words, you trespass, you transgress, you miss the mark. You're still God's son, but God holds you responsible for the choices you made. And he said, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why? I've adopted you into the family. How many of you get rid of your children because they get a little dirty sometimes? Or they get into the stuff, or they mess up stuff, they break something. And you say, you got to go. But Mom, I'm only 2 years old. You got to go. But that's the mentality of the church. And I'm telling you the truth. When Jesus came, he came full of grace and truth. It's not about keeping records. God says, I am he who blotteth out your transgressions. For my own sake, your sin will I remember no more. But see, the problem is, you remember it, and the church helps you to remember it. You see? And this is why we don't see a substantial difference for the better in our lives, because we're living with a sin consciousness rather than a righteous consciousness. This is why some of us don't pray like we ought, because we don't believe we're worthy, and God will hear us. Not understanding what prayer is. You are God's adopted son, and prayer is nothing more than talking to God from your heart. And there are some things you may not have the ability or the capacity to talk to Father about. He says, don't worry about that. Likewise, the Spirit himself will help you with your limitations. For you know not how to pray as you ought. The Spirit himself will make intercessions through you in a language you don't even understand, with deep groanings and sighings, in a language that cannot be articulated. And God says, I know exactly what you need, because I'm the one who searches the heart. And then God says, I know what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit mind and my mind are one. Yes, amen. And the Spirit will always pray a perfect prayer for you, the sons of God, the saints of God, according to God. So when you look at this verse, verse 27 of Romans 8, when you really look at that verse from the original, it's really telling us that when the Spirit prays in us and through us, it is God praying God.
Hallelujah.
You can't get more perfect than that, can you? That's God's ultimate goal. And His ultimate goal is for every one of us to walk in purpose, to know that we're predestined after the counsel of His own will. So whether I'm on my face in my office praying, whether I'm sitting at my desk, riding my car, come on, soaking down in my shower, whether I'm shaving in front of my mirror, I can have a little talk with my Father. Glory to God. I've been adopted. No need to wait for anything. I have full rights and privileges in the family of God. I've been conformed to His image. And you got to have that confidence that because the Spirit of God is in you and you have been named after the name of Jesus Christ, that the enemy has no authority over you. Absolutely no authority. We need to take authority over situations. If you don't like what's going on in your life, take authority over it. You don't understand it? And then allow the Spirit to pray in you and through you, so God can bring you to a place of acceptance and understanding. But by the time you come to that place of acceptance and understanding, you're on the other side of that test and that trial. And you look back and wonder, say, how I got over. Glory to God. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads right at your seats very quickly? Glory to God.